We present Ben Daniels as Arthur Vernet in Absolute Discretion by Grant Eustace.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Vernet, is it?
That's right.
The trap from the park house is outside, sir. If I take your bags. It's through here.
William! Mr. Vernet for you.
Right, sir. There you are. In you get.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. Clear away, William.
Go on, girl. Go on.
I'm grateful for your coming to fetch me, William.
Just my job, sir.
Pleasant day for a ride, though.
Smells like rain to me.
Oh, really? Sad news this morning.
What's that, sir?
Sir Edwin Landseer. I read in the newspaper on my way down in the train that he died yesterday.
Was he someone famous?
Where he was, if you like us.
Don't know much about that. Sad about Albert.
Prince Albert, you mean? But he died years ago.
No, Albert Tierley. Down the quarry. They're burying him tomorrow.
I'm sorry to hear it. Accident, was it?
One of them did it for Albert.
So they use explosives at the quarry?
Ever since that Mr. Buckmaster took it over. Don't know why I have to make changes. No one ever got killed when they were just digging out the stone. If that man had stayed up north where he belongs, Albert would be alive now.
Good afternoon, sir. William will take your bags. If you care to follow me, his lordship will see you in the library.
Come. Yes, Blaine?
Mr. Arthur Vernet, your lordship.
Good afternoon, my lord.
I have to tell you, Vernet, that your being here is not very convenient.
I assure you I will make every effort.
With a shoot just about to start, there would have been no question of your coming at all if my son had not been so insistent.
Being able to do some research here will be extremely valuable for my thesis, which is why I'm so grateful.
Some new fangled idea, is it, this thesis?
It's a slightly unusual approach that my tutor is trying.
Don't understand it. I thought the whole point of universities was that they were guardians of tradition.
I think you would find that Oxford is still...
I tried to persuade my son that he'd be better off managing the estate for me here than filling his head with irrelevant academic nonsense, but he was not to be persuaded. No great sense of family, that boy, I fear. See much of him, do you?
We live on the same staircase.
Yeah, now, about the history of the family. That is what you wish to write about, is it not?
Yes, my lord, it is.
Well, I shall see any notes you take before you leave.
Of course, if you wish.
I do wish, sir. Now, I'll ring for Alice, and she can show you to your room.
Here you are, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, your bags haven't been brought up. I'll go and see to that right away.
Before you do, Alice.
Yes, sir?
Would you shut the door?
Oh, I would have done that anyway, sir.
I meant with you on this side of it.
Oh, I see, sir. But the housekeeper might notice I've not come down.
Then let me waste no time.
Oh, we don't have to hurry that much.
What I need in this house, Alice, is an ally.
What?
Someone who can be discreet.
Oh, I won't tell a soul.
And on whose information I can rely.
Oh, is that all?
It could be a great deal. Will you help me?
Well, I suppose I could. But I don't know anything about history.
I do not recall making any mention of that.
Oh, well, I just heard, somewhere.
Perhaps at a convenient keyhole. Sharp as well as attractive, I see.
Oh, do you find me attractive?
I am not in the habit of saying what I do not mean. And now tell me what you know about my host.
What?
I want to know your views of the Earl.
Oh, if anything ever got out, sir...
I can be discreet too, Alice.
Well, yes, but... Well, how do I know I can trust you?
A fair question. And a trifle difficult to answer. Let's think. They say the eyes always reveal a person's true character. Do you see deception in mine?
Oh, I think they're very nice eyes.
Good. That's settled then. And now, what of the Earl?
Well, you could decide for yourself at dinner, sir.
I doubt that very much. He may tolerate me under his roof, but not, I fancy, at his table.
Well, Blaine said there was laying up to be done for one person in the gunroom. Do you think that's you?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, I don't know what I can tell you. I mean, his lordship only ever seems to be talking about one thing when I hear him.
What's that?
Poaching has got to be stopped. And I've come to the conclusion that nothing short of outright fear will achieve that object.
Just so. Quite right.
So, I've had these brass plates made to be put up all over the estate.
Oh, yes.
I wrote the text myself, look. Henceforward, poachers will be shot first, and if practicable, questioned afterwards. Good, eh?
Splendid.
Yes, I think that'll do the trick. As long as they can read, I suppose.
A touching concern for wildlife. Until the time comes to shoot at it himself, I imagine.
Pity is not so concerned about human beings.
Meaning?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It's not my place.
We agreed you could trust me, didn't we?
Well, it's my mother, sir. Well, she was housekeeper here for 20 years till this summer. And then she had a fall and hurt her back bad. And, well, that was the end of her employment. And no more to be said.
And nothing by way of compensation?
Not a farthing. Not that my mother ever says, but, well, I know she took it hard.
Understandably. Yet you still work here.
Well, we have to have some money come in. And there's not much else in Langston for a girl. Well, I don't want to work on a farm and turn into an old woman in 5 years.
No, that would never do. All right, let us consider the Earl's sisters.
Well, there's Lady Maud.
What of her?
Neville, I wish you would stop prattling on about your wretched pheasants and give some thought to the standards that are to be set here.
I thought I could safely leave that to you, Maud.
You know as well as I do that I only act with your authority.
Oh, my dear Maud.
So at the least, you should keep yourself informed.
Very well, then. Inform me.
The second daughter of the labourer Newcomb will be leaving.
Why is that?
She is with child.
I knew it.
I was not aware she was married.
That is the point. She is not.
Oh. Where's she going?
That is not our concern. What is of primary importance is that we allow no precedent of unmarried parenthood to be set.
I agree entirely.
I think you might be acting a little harshly, Maud. After all, it's always been the way with country people to lay more store by childbirth than by convention.
Then it is time it was brought home to them that we are now living in a moral age where behaving like the animals they tend will not do.
What will become of the girl?
Well, she has a family in a village 5 miles away, but Lady Maud don't know that.
I'm beginning to believe I shall enjoy eating alone. Why are the Earl's sisters here in any case? I understood they lived somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, in the manor house down the village. But they come up here to dinner 3 times a week when their aunt shoots.
In that event, if I were the Earl, I would arrange shoots as often as possible. Or is the other sister an improvement?
Lady Edith. Not so I've noticed.
And while we are on the subject of the state of the village, Neville...
Are we?
I am extremely concerned about the new rector.
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Denison gives every impression of trying to undo all the good work of our dear late cousin.
What evidence have you to substantiate such a charge?
He has the most novel, unhealthy ideas. For example, he has been heard talking of a social gathering of some description on the rectory lawn.
Disgraceful.
Oh, that could be quite congenial.
For every inhabitant of the village, Neville. And all at once. All classes mixed together like grazing cattle.
Oh.
And he has definitely drawn up a design for erecting a stage at one end of the tithe barn.
What for?
For plays, Neville, of course.
Oh.
And why in heaven's name would his parishioners have need of those?
I've no idea. It's no use complaining to me, Edith. You must direct your voice to the Bishop's Palace in Wells.
Denison's wife is as bad as he is, you know.
I did not know.
But then any woman prepared to proclaim herself publicly as an artist is hardly to be relied upon for anything.
So the rector and his wife are recently arrived in the village. Is there anyone else to whom that applies?
Oh, there's Miss Staples, the school teacher. She came by Easter time.
Good. I shall call on them all in the morning. Is there anywhere I could obtain a bicycle, do you think?
What's that?
Too much to hope for in rural Somerset, I suppose. And you must tell me where your mother lives, too.
Mr. Verney.
Oh, my Lord, it's Mrs. Lamont.
Who?
The housekeeper. Oh.
Mr. Verney, are you there?
Just a moment. Into the dressing room, quickly. Yes?
So sorry to trouble you, sir, but have you seen Alice since she brought you up?
Oh, she went to find my luggage, which has not been delivered.
Oh, I'll see to that at once. Little baggage is probably chattering to William. Thank you, sir.
All right, Alice. You can come out now.
That was very gentlemanly, sir. Thank you.
Are you indeed a little baggage?
Well, that's really for you to say, sir, isn't it?
You'd best be off while there's no one to see your departure.
Just what are you up to, Mr. Verney?
Everything will be revealed in its own good time, Alice.
Oh, I do hope so, sir.
Good morning, Blaine.
Good morning, sir. I trust you slept well.
Yes, thank you, Blaine.
Breakfast has been laid up for you in the gun room.
Excellent.
May I inquire if you intend to go out this morning?
I shall be visiting the rectory, but I shall have no need of the trap. I'm happy to walk. Tell me, Blaine, how are letters delivered to the house?
They are not, sir. Not strictly speaking. One of the grooms goes down to collect them.
Where is down?
To the post office in the village, sir.
I see.
Are you expecting a letter, Mr. Verney?
It is possible one will arrive. Thank you, Blaine.
Delighted to make your acquaintance, Mr. Verney.
Likewise, Mr. Denison. And I hope I do not impose on your time.
Oh, the only fixed point in my day is the melancholy task of laying Albert Tierley to rest. And that is not until this afternoon. How can I assist you?
I'm researching the history of the Grattan family, and I was naturally hoping that the rector would be the guardian of the parish record.
My dear sir, I am guardian of more than that.
Oh, over the souls of your parishioners, of course.
Those as well, although that was not what I had in mind. No, it was fortuitous that you chose to begin your search here, since I believe I can save you a mountain of labour.
In what way?
My predecessor, Prebendary Grattan, was a member of the manorial family.
So I understand.
He had himself undertaken extensive research into his ancestors.
I was not aware of that.
Nor I until a few weeks ago. I came across a chest amongst the clutter in the loft. His executors must have missed it when the rectory was cleared of his belongings. It was full of the notes he had made about his family.
Excellent.
I must admit that I have not announced my find to the world because it provides such fascinating reading. But now I must surrender it, I suppose.
Not on my account.
But the Earl...
will not learn of its existence from me.
You put me in your debt, my good sir.
Not at all. I have no wish to strain your relationship with the Grattans any further.
Oh, you have heard of that, have you? I fear their view is rather too feudal for my taste. I come from the school that believes the shepherd's task is to open the eyes and minds of his flock and not just herd them. Still, enough of that. The chest I found is over here. Here's one of the family trees, for example. The most modern, I think.
Yes, up to the present Earl. Most interesting.
Well, if you know where this is now, Mr. Verney, feel free to call and examine it whenever you need.
That's very kind. And where do you keep the parish register?
Oh, that's in the church itself. Oh, come along, I'll show you. Back as far as 1655, you see. There was some trouble here in the Civil War, I believe, and records before that were lost.
A shame.
A great shame, I may say.
In any case, I think I shall start in our own century.
Now, I should just check that all is ready for Albert Tierley. If you would care to come with me, Mr. Verney, I can show you where some of the earlier Grattans are lying.
This one, for example, Henry Wilberforce Grattan, a complete ne'er-do-well all his life. You see what it says?
Died 14th of September 1761.
But it carefully does not say how he died. He fell out of a high window at the manor house one night when he was intoxicated and broke his neck.
I do not think the Earl would wish to be reminded of that.
He has no option, my dear sir. Be stern with the facts, I say. But you can leave out the tale that Henry Wilberforce is reputed to haunt this graveyard still. Oh, great heavens! Did you hear that? Just a bird.
That might have been disturbed.
There's my wife. Over here, my dear.
Who is the young lady with her?
That's Miss Staples, our schoolmistress. Ladies, this is Mr. Verney, who is doing some research into the Grattan family. Mr. Verney, my wife, and Miss Staples.
How do you do?
How do you do? Verney, are you perhaps a descendant of the French artist of that name?
Oh, painting is very much my wife's field, Mr. Verney.
So I understand. Yes. But only a very distant relation, madam.
If you're not careful, Mr. Verney, Mrs. Dennison will be researching your family.
I trust not.
Now I must leave you to your own devices, my dear sir. But call again whenever you wish. Yes. Come along, my dear.
Oh, goodbye, Mr. Verney.
Good day to you. I'm on my way to the post office, Miss Staples. May I accompany you as far as the schoolhouse?
Please do. You have learned the geography of our village very swiftly.
It comes of a scientific training, I'm afraid. Marshal all the facts first.
There's no need to be afraid. I have a great deal of respect for scientists.
Do you teach the subject?
I rarely have the chance to teach anything that is modern.
That sounds like the influence of one of the ladies Grattan.
Yes, Lady Edith. Her views on education are as strong as they are backward-looking. Oh, I'm sorry, I should not say that.
I'm not their spy.
Yet you research their family.
Among other things. But I see the whole of life in Langston as worthy of examination.
That sounds like prying at the very least.
But I must insist.
Oh! And now I have to contend with Lady Edith. What bee has she in her bonnet today? Excuse me.
Now, what would the schoolmistress rather I did not learn, I wonder?
Afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Langston.
Oh, thank you.
No need to look surprised, sir. I can recognize every soul who lives here, the high and the low. The representative of the General Post Office must be a master of such facts. So I know you, sir, are not a resident of Langston.
Indeed I am not, Mr...
Sadler, sir. Amos Sadler, at your service. But I must own you surprised me a little too, sir, since I didn't hear your horse.
I'm on foot.
Ah, well, there's a novelty and no mistake.
How so?
Well, sir, we are a busy little community here, but not, as you might say, on the road from somewhere to anywhere. So a person on foot has to come a tidy way. And yet you scarcely dress for hard walking.
You have a railway station?
Indeed, sir. And a great boon it is. But then a stranger, fresh from the railway, might be expected to have a travelling bag.
Which he could leave outside.
I think I would have heard that, sir.
There is no mystery, Mr. Sadler. I have come on foot from the park house.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sure I beg your pardon, sir. I hadn't realized.
Think no more of it.
It's just that we never see visitors to his lordship. I never thought to give offense.
Rest assured, there's none taken.
That's very princely of you, sir.
Although I'm surprised you do not encounter people from the park house. They are there in such numbers, as I understand.
Oh, I'm aware of them, all right. Shooting party for 12 planned for today, isn't there?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I know what's afoot. But all I'll ever speak to is their valets. Apart from yourself, that is.
And now let me return the compliment, Mr. Sather. There is something unusual about you.
In what way, sir?
In your manner. You have a certain bearing, a confidence that is in some contrast to most of your fellow citizens here.
You have a quick eye, sir. Knew that the moment you come in. You're quite right. I have seen something in the world beyond Somerset. I was in the Fusiliers.
Ah, so that's it.
I was in India, mostly. And as for confidence, sir, well, I had made corporal, and I had good prospects of sergeant.
Then what made you give up a profession that promised so well?
Your eyes may be quick, sir, but they cannot see through the counter. Not much to be done with one-legged soldiers, is there?
I'm sorry, I have no idea.
Nothing to be sorry about, sir. These things happen, especially when a pack of mad sepoys gets hold of a cannon.
You went through the mutiny?
Yes, sir. So it's all a long time ago. And the Lord has no patience with those as complain all the time, so the old rector used to say. Now, how can I and the General Post Office be of service to you?
I would like to telegraph to a friend in Oxford.
Well, I can arrange that, sir, of course. But the boy will have to take your message into Froome. That's the nearest automatic telegraph. Not much call for it here, you see.
Will they forward any reply to this office?
As soon as they receive it, sir.
Good. Here you are.
Right. Let's see. Well, this message, sir. You sure this is what you want to say?
Perfectly.
Well, begging your pardon, sir, but I can't make head nor tail of it. Except the address. That's clear enough.
It will mean something to the person for whom it is intended, as long as it is sent exactly as it's written.
Very well, sir. I'll send a note with the boy to that effect.
Thank you.
That'll be, 2 shillings. Afraid it's quite long. Thank you, sir.
And now, Mr. Sadler, one more small service.
Ask away, sir.
Can you put me in the right direction for the quarry?
No sooner said than done. Turn left outside. Go down to where the road forks beyond the last cottage. Take the lane on the right-hand side. That'll lead you straight to it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good day to you.
Stop the carriage! Who was that, John?
Do you mean the gentleman who just turned the corner ahead, ma'am?
To whom else would I be referring, you foolish man? Of course I mean him.
I don't know his name, ma'am, but he's the gentleman who arrived at his lordship's yesterday.
Oh, it is he again, is it? I wonder where he has been.
He just came out of the post office, ma'am.
Indeed. Then I shall speak to Mr. Sadler.
Lady Edith, this is a great privilege.
Was that young man in here a moment ago?
If you mean the gentleman whose guest at the park house, yes. He'd been gone barely a couple of minutes. A most pleasant young man, I felt him.
Your opinion of him is of no interest to me. I simply wish to know what business he transacted here.
He wanted to send a telegraph.
Show it to me.
I'm afraid I'm not allowed to do that.
Not allowed? Rubbish.
The regulations of the General Post Office are quite explicit on the subject, Lady Edith.
Show it to me, I say.
I have a loyalty to the General Post Office, madam, which prevents...
And what of your loyalty to Langston? Remember, Mr. Sadler, that you are not indispensable in the position you hold here. A man with a wooden leg would have a much harder time of it providing for his family if he had to work on the land hereabouts, or in the quarry. I trust I make myself clear.
Very, Lady Edith.
But this is not addressed to anybody.
It is for collection at the Oxford Post Office. The recipient must have made some arrangement with the postmaster there.
And what is all the rest of this gibberish? Are you trying to perpetrate some tedious joke at my expense?
It is the message as the young man wishes it sent.
But none of it has any meaning.
Well, I understand it is some form of cipher.
Is it indeed? Mr. Verney presumes too much upon our goodwill. My brother shall hear of this.
Any time I can be of service, Lady Edith.
All right, Tolly, I say then. That's far enough.
You believe in making your visitors welcome, I see.
Don't believe in visitors to the quarry at all. There's an end to it.
Not a great belief in politeness either, by the sound of it. I'm here to speak to Mr. Buckmaster.
As it may be, but you won't.
Are you he?
Might be. Then again, I might not.
Of course you're not. No gentleman would greet his visitors with a dog and a stick. Does Mr. Buckmaster employ you, then, to take his decisions for him?
He employs me to keep his premises clear of troublemakers. And Tolly here and this stick are the tools of my trade. Oh, my God. It's just some busybody, Mr. Buckmaster, sir. Leave him to me.
Yes, but this one's no local. Who are you, boy?
My name is Arthur Verney, and I have come from Langston Park House.
Ah, so his lordship has sent an envoy, has he? Too proud to come himself, of course. Or perhaps you're just some sort of spy.
Actually,
I... Move back a pace and let the car through. Don't want to slow down the work, do we? Now, you better walk over to the office with me, where it's a trifle quieter. All right, Waters.
Very good, sir. Come on.
You keep a singularly surly man in your employ, if I may say so, Mr. Buckmaster.
You may not say so, lad. That's my business. And if we're to stay on civil terms, you'll keep your nose out of it. Now, why are you here?
It was not at the Earl's behest.
You said you came from there?
I'm staying at the Park House. I have come here as part of the family research upon which I am engaged.
Not my family, I wager.
No, the Grattans.
Well, best do that quickly before they die out.
Why should they?
Because their stocks failed. Centuries of inbreeding have produced an ineffectual fool like the Earl, and two sisters who'll go to their grave without issue.
The Earl has a son?
But we don't see too much of him, I notice. At university, I hear, learning to be an intellectual, so he won't be getting his hands dirty.
Is that obligatory?
It is if you want to make your way in the world. And what the devil has my quarry to do with the Grattans?
I was wondering if any interesting remains had been dug up here.
If they had, they would have been cast aside like any other rubbish.
You have no sense of history?
None. What has history ever done for me? The Earl is history. I look to the future. Now then, Verney, I'm a good judge of men, and I say you're a poor liar. What are you really here for?
Perhaps to compare the past with the future.
And perhaps you are sent to spy something out after all. I should have let Walter set the dog on you.
I have no wish to impose on your time any further.
Good, because you only have another 10 seconds of it.
Why such a precise amount?
Because it's coming up to 3 o'clock, which is an unsuitable moment to step out of that door.
I heard no warning for that blast.
There was none. We always blast at 3. Everyone here knows that.
You must reward your work as well.
How's that?
If they can all afford their own timepieces.
One amongst them is all that's necessary, and that's my foreman. The rest will follow. They're like sheep in the fields, these people.
Oh, pity that Albert Tierley did not recognize the need to be sheep-like. He might not be needing a funeral today.
You could well profit by learning when to hold your tongue, my lad. You're all the same, you people in the South. You don't understand that this country will stand or fall on its industrial strength. On places like this, not on its rolling green fields. So don't you try to mock those of us who have grasped what has to be done. We'll bury you like one of those rock faces out there would, Verney. You and the Earl and all the rest of you. You see if we don't. Now, get off my land, or I'll have Walters throw you off.
I wouldn't want to put Mr. Walters to any trouble.
Huh?
In any case, I prefer the company of the gentler sex.
I'm sorry if I should have heard mention of you, Mr. Verney, but I can't recall the name at all.
Oh, no matter, Mrs. Selwood. It was just possible your daughter had already told you of me.
We'll only see Alice on our afternoon off, and that's not until tomorrow. You don't mean to say you and her is courting?
Oh, good Lord, no. Nothing of the sort.
Oh, well, she's not in trouble, is she? When she's out of the house so much, I've no idea what she might be doing.
All is well on that front, too. At least, as far as I'm aware.
Then, how does a gentleman like you come to know my Alice?
She works at the house, as you say, and that is where I'm staying.
I see. Except I don't see why you're here.
I believe you can give me a little information.
What can I possibly tell you, Mr. Verney?
You know the Grattan family well.
Well, I was their housekeeper at the Park House, if that's what you mean.
So you would know all there is to know?
Well, I don't about all. But if you have to run a household, you can't afford to miss much.
It must have been a great blow to lose your position when you hurt your back.
Did Alice tell you that? That girl's got too busy a mouth on her.
Were you aware in your time at the house of any feud?
Within the family, you mean?
Possibly. Or a dispute with a neighbour. Another landowner near here, perhaps. Neighbours can be so unreasonable over apparently trivial things.
These are strange questions.
Oh, I'm just doing some research for the family.
But why now? Has something happened?
Such as?
Oh, I don't know. Alice has had nothing to say.
It is just a matter of some letters. It is of no importance.
Well, I'm sure I don't know who would want to write anything nasty to the Earl.
I did not say they were to the Earl.
Oh, Well, I just assume...
One other query. The line of paintings in the library seems rather uneven. Are any of them missing?
Three. They were taken.
Stolen, do you mean?
We never knew. They just disappeared.
Were they portraits of the family by any chance?
No. They were of scenery and places. Mm-hmm. You know, just ordinary pictures.
I see. Well, no matter. Thank you, Mrs. Selwood. No. Do not disturb yourself. Oh. I shall see myself out.
Mr. Verney?
Yes, Alice?
I've got a message for you.
Ah.
Oh. My, you do look handsome in that suit. If you don't mind me saying so, of course.
It's hardly special. Everyone at Oxford wears these. You have a message, you say?
Oh, sorry, sir. Yeah, your dinner's to be in the gun room again, and the Earl wants to speak to you.
Ah, I'd better get that over with before anything else.
I'm not dressed like that.
I thought you liked my suit.
Oh, I mean, his guests are in evening dress already.
The shooting party has arrived, has it?
So his lordship said to see him in the morning.
Very well.
So you'll have your evening free after dinner?
I'm afraid not, Alice. Work before pleasure.
Good night, Mr. Verney.
Good morning, Mr. Verney. I trust you slept well.
I think we can dispense with the inquiries after my well-being each morning, Blaine, thank you.
Very well, sir. His lordship is already out with the other guns. I am to request you to speak to him up by the north copse.
There they are, gentlemen!
A brace again, I think, Mitchell.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And the only brace as far as I could see.
Really? Splendid. Oh, good Lord, here comes that Verney fellow. Are we due to move?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll lead the party over to the lower field. Oh, and take my gun.
Very good, sir. Gentlemen, you'll be good enough to follow me while the beaters move around the cop.
Good morning, my lord.
Only until you arrive, Verney. Now, will you kindly tell me, sir, precisely what game it is you are playing?
It is not a game.
If you are sending in ciphered messages, you are clearly up to no good.
That is not true, my lord.
Are you calling Miss Sister a liar? I have her own word for it, but...
I have sent a telegraph, yes. Mm. But I am acting with your interests at heart.
Poppycock.
Those of your family, then. I am here to learn what your son could not.
That makes no sense. Well, what have I ever kept from him?
The fact that threatening letters have been received, and the nature of the threats.
He sent you because of that?
He asked me to come. He is persuaded that a covert approach made by an outsider is the only way he will learn the truth. Unfortunately, I have not remained covert for very long. But if I may say so, my lord, you do your son a disservice by saying he takes no interest in his family. His concern runs very deep.
I do not require such an opinion from you, Verney. I require you to desist from your interfering inquiry.
I am afraid that is not possible. I am acting on your son's behalf, not yours.
Dare me, sir!
You can work with me or against me, but you can be assured that I will continue to investigate.
Are you threatening me, sir?
No, my lord. I am merely stating where my loyalties lie.
Well, I can respect that. Now, if you continue, if, I say, I most firmly insist on absolute discretion.
I have already given that assurance to your son. And indeed, you have proof of my goodwill in that respect.
In what way?
That the telegraph was not plain for all to read.
Yes. Yes, I suppose so. But such a lot of fuss about the scribblings of a crank.
Your sisters clearly do not think that is what they are. It was their disquiet that first drew your son's attention to the matter.
I do not necessarily share the views of my sisters. Oh, damnation, I shall miss this round.
If you were to tell me what has passed, perhaps I can put their minds at rest.
There have simply been three letters sent to me, Sister Maud. Two of them were couched in the most scurrilous terms.
Meaning what exactly?
They alleged a passionate affair of the heart in her youth.
And to reveal the contents would seriously undermine her somewhat rigid moral stance within this community.
You judge the situation precisely.
This is disgraceful, Neville. The letters must be stopped.
And how do you propose I do that, Maud, when we don't know from whom they come?
They must have been sent by someone in Langston. We will have them all questioned.
Oh, be sensible, Edith. That would serve to publicize the existence of the letters and therefore what they contain.
It could be denied.
That's impossible.
I do not see why.
Because what they say is in essence true.
I had nothing to do with his death.
I said in essence. Clearly, someone already knows of your relationship with Nicholas Irving.
Is it not bad enough that the letters keep mentioning his name without your doing so as well?
A public denial of the facts could simply make them better known. Something I assume you wish to avoid.
Then what do you advise?
Ignore the whole damned business. Let the writer lose interest because of our total lack of reaction.
But that has not occurred since you spoke of three letters.
You are very observant.
I find it helpful. Was the third one of a similar nature to the other two?
No, there was the addition of a demand for money.
In order to keep the secret quiet.
That is correct.
So, what was the relationship between your sister and this Mr. Irving?
I do not see that whatever Miss Sons wishes, that is any of your affair.
Were any of these letters retained?
No, they all went in the fire where they belonged.
Pity. One might have deduced a good deal from them. Were they written on good paper?
Such as any gentleman might use. Just like my own writing paper, as a matter of fact.
The same on all three occasions?
As I recall, yes. Really, Verney, this is the most extraordinary pursuit for a student of history.
History was for the purposes of concealment, my lord. I'm actually studying chemistry.
Your lordship! Your lordship!
Teeth, am I to get no peace this morning? And what are you bellowing about, William?
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir, but there's an urgent message from Lady Edith. I'm to ask you to go down to the manor house at once.
At once? Impossible! I'm in the middle of a shoot!
I was told to tell you it was a matter of life and death.
Now, what on earth is so urgent, Edith?
What is this young man doing here?
All I can to assist, Lady.
Now, do get on with it, Edith. I've a party of guests I'm woefully neglecting.
Your guests can be hanged, for all I care, when our lives are threatened.
Yours and Maud's,
principally. She's so faint with fear that she is taken to her bed. But what quarter would I be given if such a madman ever gained entry to this house?
What madman are we talking about?
The one who sent that box to Maud.
Box?
This one.
Oh! Open it away from me! I do not wish even to think about it.
How very interesting.
Interesting?
An animal's heart by the look of it. Quite fresh, too.
Oh, dreadful thing! Now do you see, Neville?
I'm afraid I do not. Whoever sent it is clearly deranged, so he may not have any clear purpose.
For pity's sake, then, read the note.
There is no note here, Lady Edith.
What? Oh, no, of course. It was put on the bureau. This was what accompanied the box.
May I? Nicholas Irvin will be revenged.
So you see, Maud and I have been right all this time. You should hesitate no longer, Neville, and move into the manor house with us.
I do not see how that would prevent a lunatic from sending packages to you.
But the household here would be more substantial, Neville. There is safety in numbers.
I have no intention of taking any such precipitate decision.
But Neville...
But I will drive myself back to the park house and leave William here as some extra protection. Though I cannot believe that this is anything but a practical joke in the worst possible taste.
Lady Edith, perhaps I could make a small contribution to your well-being by disposing of this box.
Just get it out of this house!
Alice.
Oh.
Can you spare me a few moments?
Oh, I'd love to, Mr. Verney, but the housekeeper's about and she's in a terrible bad mood today.
It won't take long. I just want to ask two small favours, and there is no immediate hurry.
Oh, I'll see what he can do.
Firstly, I would like a sheet of the Earl's writing paper.
What, with his crest on?
No, the plain continuation paper that matches it.
How many sheets?
Just one.
Oh, that'll be a short letter.
I do not want it to write on. Then I would like a message to go to the head gamekeeper.
Oh, Bert Mitchell's out with the shoot.
I know. When they come back will be time enough. Perhaps I could talk to him in the gun room.
Oh, I'll make sure he gets your message.
Thank you.
What have you got in that little box then, sir?
Believe me, you really do not want to know, Alice.
A badger's heart. That's what it is, Mr. Verney.
How can you be so positive?
Because I seen the animal. Found it yesterday down in Longwood. A big male it was.
Had it been shot?
No. Caught in a trap and butchered where it lay. All very queer. I didn't know what to make of it.
Because of the paradox.
Beg pardon, sir?
The surgery, let us call it, was done with a poacher's knife. Am I correct?
Certainly looks like it. Though I don't know how you can tell.
Oh, some of my family are country squires. I have had a little experience of the ways of the land. Yet while it was the sort of knife one might expect, it was not handled by someone who knew what he was doing.
That's right, sir. No countryman would make such a downright mess of that animal. Fair unprofessional it was.
Unless we're being deliberately misled.
But then there's a trap, Mr. Verney.
What of it?
A gin trap, sir. Quite new, with a rare, strong spring. Mm. Now, I don't know a poacher around here who could afford to lay his hand on anything so grand.
Should the estate gamekeeper know any poachers?
I only meant it in a manner of speaking, sir.
Of course. I shall paraphrase your words when I speak to the Earl.
Well, Verney, you are no doubt pleased with all this pettifogging investigating you're doing, but I fail to see the advantage to be gained from it.
Mitchell's discovery of the animal shows that we're dealing with somebody who lives locally.
Not necessarily. An outsider could just as easily come here and set a trap.
Yes, they could. But why should they, when they then use the postal service to send the package?
But if all these actions have been planned, as you imply, that presupposes that the man is sane.
Or woman.
Now, you don't seriously suggest that a woman is capable of trapping and then dismembering that animal?
It may seem improbable, but it is certainly not impossible. It depends a good deal on the motive.
Surely the motive is clear. Someone wishes to cause Miss Sister considerable pain by reminding her of some long-forgotten incident.
That is itself suggestive of calculation rather than just insanity.
Yes, I suppose it might be.
But such spite and anger would only explain the first two letters.
Mm.
The third contained the offer to have the silence of the writer purchased. And now we have this altogether new departure with the arrival of the box.
If you wish me to understand your train of thought, Verney, you need to be more coherent.
I'm sorry, my lord. If the writer had wished to frighten rather than simply upset your sisters, he or she could have done that from the outset.
Mm.
That is what I meant by a new departure, which was particularly revealing in the reaction of Lady Edith.
She was most put out. Had every justification, too.
She encouraged you to move to the manor house, as if you'd been contemplating such an action already.
It has come up for consideration from time to time.
May I ask why?
I could hardly expect a chemist to grasp the details of running a country estate.
Let me hazard the guess that maintaining the two establishments is a substantial drain on your resources.
Damnably heavy, yes.
Thus, there would be considerable benefit in your moving to the manor house.
Financial, quite possibly. Personal, none at all.
Surely there are enough rooms in the manor house.
More than enough. That is precisely the problem. The Tudors who built it created a rabbit warren. I'd go mad living there. The architect of this house lived in an age which understood space properly.
1800 or thereabouts, I would estimate.
1797, as it happens.
Ah.
In any case, giving up this house means giving up the estate, which means giving up the shooting, so there's an end to it.
Then why did your sister give the impression that such a move had been under serious discussion?
Simply because I've been approached by a buyer for this house. But I've never seriously entertained the thought of that Shropshire upstart living in my family home.
Mr. Buckmaster has put himself forward as a purchaser.
He has, but with an offer so ridiculous that it is an insult. I'd be fit for bedlam myself if I accepted it.
But perhaps he might seek to force the issue.
How could he?
By frightening your sisters into persuading you to leave this house.
And make me grateful for any sum I might be able to come by.
It is possible.
The most extraordinary things seem to be possible in your book, Verney. I have a less fanciful imagination.
Perhaps Mr. Buckmaster would use other means to achieve his ends, whatever they are.
Whatever they are? Houses are for living in, as even you may have noticed. Besides, there are no other means.
But even the discussion of the sale raises other possibilities.
Oh, not more of them.
I have already had occasion to discover that closed doors in this house do not necessarily keep conversations private.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose the staff heard something of the mooted removal to the manor house.
Suppose they did.
Well, they could become bitter at the prospect of loss of employment. For the combined establishment would undoubtedly be smaller than two separate ones. And there is little enough else for them to do in Langston.
Then they would need to look further afield. I am not the village charity. In any case, the new purchaser would need staff.
If he kept the house going.
Verney, I really have better things to do than pursue wild hypotheses. I think it's time that I...
Excuse me, your lordship.
I believe I'm going mad anyway, since I seem to be unable to enjoy one moment's peace any longer.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but it is extremely urgent.
Another matter of life and death, I suppose.
Just the latter, sir.
What?
Mitchell has just been found dead.
Are you sure this is the place, William?
Quite certain, your lordship.
Mm.
It's through here. I heard his dog whining when I was taking the trap down the village, so I came to see.
Up there.
Good lord.
Has anything been moved?
No, sir. I came straight to the house to tell the Earl. Except I took the dog away with me.
No one else knows of this yet?
No, your lordship. No. Apart from Blaine, that is.
And whoever else was here?
Yeah. Another one we've got to put to bed with a spade.
Yes, all right, William. That'll do. You wait for us by the trap.
Very good, sir.
Well, perfectly obvious what happened. Mitchell put his foot into the trap, and the shock made him drop his gun. Carrying it loaded, of course, and by damnable ill fortune, it discharged full into his chest. At that range, he had no hope at all. Very tragic accident.
That is certainly what we're intended to believe.
Are you going to contrive another of your half-baked possibilities, Verney?
There is no question that that is Mitchell's own gun.
None at all.
How would he have carried it?
How the devil should I know?
I mean, the barrel would be pointing forwards, would it not?
Probably.
So when it was dropped, it had to rotate through half a circle before striking the ground if it were to shoot him.
Yes, I know that it sounds unlikely when you state it that way. Mm. Just as it's unlikely that a man of Mitchell's experience would put his foot into the jaws of an open trap. But you cannot deny the evidence of your own eyes.
I do not intend to. Even supposing the gun performed this remarkable somersault in the air, it must have struck the ground with the barrel pointing upwards.
Yes, obviously. Mitchell would still be alive if it had not.
Then why is the exit wound on his body at the same height as the entry wound?
As if he were shot from straight in front. But that would mean someone else was here.
Exactly. Which is borne out by these broken twigs and trampled leaves. There was a struggle during which Mitchell lost his gun. It was then used to kill
him. Yeah, and what about his foot in the trap?
Perhaps the trap was put there after he was killed to provide a plausible reason for the death.
Well, this is all the purest speculation. Now, since there are no witnesses, we can only proceed on the basis of what we see. Unless you think you might find it profitable to interrogate Mitchell's dog. Now, this fellow has lain here long enough. We must go back to the house and make all the necessary arrangements.
Don't you see, my lord, that if Mitchell unexpectedly came across the person who sent the package to your sister, that person might well kill to protect his identity?
Or hers? You recall you said that a woman's involvement was possible?
In the light of fresh evidence, that is less likely.
But still not impossible, I suppose, really, Verney.
The police might still feel they should be informed.
The police are plotters who will make all our lives much more disagreeable for absolutely no gain. It will not bring Mitchell back, and it will not make his death any less of an accident. Right. Out you get, Verney. Blaine.
Yes, my lord.
William, get the others from the stables and fetch the body back to the house.
Very good, your lordship.
Now, Blaine, where are my guests?
I took the liberty of offering them an early luncheon, sir.
Good, good. Oh, blast it. I meant to tell William to go down to the rector.
I shall be going to the village myself. I can inform him what has happened.
Do that, Verney. Make yourself useful. And ensure you do not embellish the plain fact.
But I still feel...
When you furnish proof, I say again, that it is murder, then I shall reconsider. Until then, it is and will continue to be an accident. Now, Blaine.
My lord.
There's a good deal to be done to restore some semblance of normality to this house.
Oh, Mr. Burnley, I've been looking for you everywhere. I've got a sheet of that paper for you.
Thank you, Alice. Now, let's see if this matches the note that came with the box.
Well, is it supposed to?
I would be most surprised if it did.
Nothing like it.
No.
Oh, sir, are you hurt? Oh, that looks like blood on your trousers.
It may well be, but not mine.
And then mud, too. Now, why don't you slip him off and I could sponge him clean for you?
I appreciate your concern, Alice, but later.
I don't think there'll ever be a later with you.
I told you, work before pleasure. Mm. And there is a lot of work yet to be done. Can you tell me where Mitchell lived?
Oh, poor Bert. It's a terrible shame about him. He was a nice man.
The place, Alice.
He had a cottage at the end of the drive. You pass it if you go down the village the direct way.
Then I shall do just that.
Oh.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Mr. Sadler.
Bad business, that, about Mitchell the gamekeeper, sir.
News travels extremely quickly hereabouts.
Well, I told you, sir, the representative of the General Post Office has to have his wits about him. To think that he, of all people, should have an accident with his gun. Mm. The Lord certainly moves in mysterious ways.
Not only the Lord, Mr. Sadler.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That unsettling business has quite made me forget my duty. You've had a telegraph, sir. Boy brought it from the Froom office not half an hour ago. I may say they had quite their shirt out about the fact that they couldn't make it read with any sense. But I put them to rights about how it was supposed to be like that.
Thank you, Mr. Sadler.
And, well, I have an admission to make, sir. I was forced to tell Lady Edith about the telegraph you sent.
I had gathered that as well.
I'm terrible sorry, sir, but she's a hard woman, and if she sets her mind to something, it's a fool that crosses her in this village.
Do not be concerned. There was no harm come of it.
Right pleased to hear it, sir.
Now, I have a question.
Fire away, sir.
A package went yesterday to the manor house.
Along with the rest of the mail, sir, yes, which John the groom fetched in the morning.
Had the package been posted here?
No, sir. Came with the morning's delivery from the Froom office.
So no help there. If there are any items of mail from the quarry office, presumably they're posted here.
You'd expect so, sir, but in fact not. Mr. Buckmaster lives in Froom and generally takes the mail with him on his way home of an evening. Ah. Or so I understand.
Then I will not take any more of your time, Mr. Sadler. I am in any case overdue to deliver a message to the rector.
I'm sure my husband will only be a few minutes, Mr. Vernet, if you would care to wait.
I would like to, Mrs. Denison. Especially as there is in any case something I would like to discuss with you.
Something more about your intriguing family background, perhaps?
I think your family background might be more apposite.
What do you mean, Mr. Vernet?
Letters have been sent to Lady Maud threatening to reveal details of a relationship in the past with a Nicholas Irvin.
And what has that to do with me?
That is what I'm interested in establishing.
You insult me, Mr. Vernet, if you think I would stoop to such measures.
Perhaps I do. But I do not believe I err in suggesting you have an interest.
What is it to me what Lady Maud did in the past?
I am greatly helped, Mrs. Denison, by having another outside Langston who is able to deploy resources on my behalf. His telegraph has informed me, among other things, that your maiden name was Irvin. Would you have me believe that is a coincidence?
Yes, I would.
You are not in any way related to Nicholas Irvin.
He was my uncle.
Ah.
But it is coincidence that I am here when a campaign of which I know nothing is being waged against Lady Maud.
Is there substance in the sense of grievance that these letters portray?
Yes, but I repeat, I did not write them. Let me prove it by writing something.
All that will prove, Mrs. Denison,
is my innocence. There. Is that sufficient, or shall I write some more?
All that will prove, Mrs. Denison, is that you did not write this note. But then I did not suspect that in any case. The others, however, no longer exist.
Do you suppose they were written by a different person?
One must not close one's mind to any possibility. Does your husband know of this connection between your family and the Grattans?
No. And I would be grateful if he did not learn of it. There was no reason to tell him of it before we came here, and even less cause when he was offered this living, since it might have influenced his decision. And it is in truth totally irrelevant. Now, if you wish to continue this conversation, Mr. Vernet, I would be grateful if we could move outside. I am finding the atmosphere indoors a trifle oppressive. I hope you have no objection to being among the dead.
A graveyard holds no fears for me, Mrs. Denison. Only the living can cause pain.
You disregard the hurt which memories can inflict.
What precisely is the nature of the resentment that the memory of Nicholas Irvin evokes?
My uncle was an officer in the cavalry. The army was his life. And to tell the truth, I think he did not seriously consider that he could combine soldiering with marriage.
But Lady Maud thought otherwise.
She thought the soldiering could be disregarded if necessary, which was like telling my uncle he must do without food and drink. The thought of being cooped up all his life in a little village like this held no appeal to him at all.
So the ardour was all on her side?
Totally. Oh, I can understand that. I can just remember my uncle. He was a handsome man and doubly so in uniform, and yet he had none of the fierceness one expects in the professional warrior. But she took her infatuation to extremes. The poor man's life was made miserable.
Well, surely he could simply have stated that the relationship was at an end once he established that she wished him to sacrifice his career for marriage.
He did that more times than he could count. But she sent letter after letter, sometimes pleading in the most abject terms, sometimes threatening, sometimes abusive. And being a gentleman, he would not just throw them on the fire, but attempted to answer them all with the same polite no.
Small wonder that she is now the high priestess of morality in Langston. Seeking to purge her own past weakness using the lives of others.
It is the most appalling hypocrisy, and I'm ashamed to admit that I despise her for it. But I keep that to myself. I did not write those letters.
You would have no occasion to do that, I can see.
Or at least not now, when your position would be so vulnerable if you were unmasked.
And my husband's position, Mr. Verney.
Indeed. There has been some reference to Lady Maud being the cause of your uncle's death. Do you know to what that refers?
He went to the Crimea with his regiment. There were those who suggested that his extraordinary gallantry bordered on the foolhardy, that he was in fact trying to get himself killed.
As a way of being finally free of Lady Maud?
That was the implication.
Do you believe it?
No. I think Uncle Nicholas was far too conscientious a soldier to do anything so unprofessional.
But if that were his wish, it was rewarded.
Yes. He was killed at Sebastopol. War is such a terrible waste.
Hmm.
Did you know that this graveyard has a reputation for being haunted?
I had heard as much.
Miss Dodd, I have the strangest sensation of being watched.
I do not think a ghost would give you that impression, Mrs. Dennison.
Oh, Mr. Verney, I'm afraid this is not a very convenient time.
I'm sorry to see you upset, Miss Staples.
I really do not know why you should think that. But I would be most grateful if you would call again, if you must, perhaps tomorrow.
I think it might be better if we spoke now. I have a direct interest in the cause of your unhappiness.
I keep telling you,
Miss... The death of Bert Mitchell.
You had best come in.
How did you know? I thought I'd been so careful.
We've had heavy rain, and the ground by the door of Mitchell's cottage is soft. Yours is a recognizably small foot that had left clear imprints.
Then it must all come out. What you have seen, others will see also.
No, I do not think so. I found the marks, because I was looking. I have, in any case, obliterated them. But there was also this book inside.
I was teaching him to read.
Your inscription on the flyleaf would not persuade an unbiased observer that your interest in Mitchell was primarily intellectual.
I do not have to answer to you for my emotions.
Not in the slightest.
Why are you here, then?
You knew Mitchell well. I want to know if he had any enemies.
What sort of enemies could a gamekeeper have?
I'm looking for ones who would be prepared to kill him.
Are you suggesting that his death was not an accident?
I'm convinced of it.
Oh! Have the police been called?
Well, at the moment, I am the only one who believes in the possibility of murder. Well, I imagine that on balance, you would rather not submit to the questioning that would inevitably follow the involvement of the police.
But I would not want Bert's murderer to go free, either.
I do not think that will happen.
Do you know who was responsible, then?
Well, there is only a limited choice. But I just wished you to confirm that there are no other circumstances of which I know nothing.
I wish I could be of some help.
Excluding possibilities is always a help. Now I will not intrude on you any longer.
Mr. Verney, if either Lady Maud or Lady Edith were to learn of my friendship with Bert Mitchell...
Your position here would be untenable, I know. They will hear nothing from me.
You're very kind. I'm sorry I was so abrupt earlier.
You have every reason at present.
Most odd. I have the uncomfortable feeling there's someone watching us.
That is not an unusual sensation in this village. Good day, Miss Staples.
Stop the carriage, John! Mr. Verney!
Good day, Lady Edith.
What are you doing coming out of that young lady's house?
I was returning a book which she'd been good enough to lend.
I wonder. An unattached man roaming this village is singularly undesirable. I am surprised my brother allows it. I shall speak to him again.
The Earl has been good enough to let me help in the matter of Nicholas Irving.
That is a private family matter.
It can hardly remain so much longer if the public mail is being used to deliver threats.
Then the police should be informed.
Which would make the matter more public still.
Oh, that wretched man, Irving. I do not know what we have done to deserve his coming into our lives.
How did he come into your lives?
He was a riding companion of my brother's. Mr. Verney, I am not going to discuss private Grattan business in the street with someone whose behavior is as suspect as yours. Drive on, John.
Oh. Ah, Mr. Dennison. Just the man I needed to see.
Oh, Mr. Verney. Oh, it's a surprise to see you here. A pleasant surprise, of course.
I said to you when we last met, I do not go telling tales to the Earl. He must garner information for himself.
Whatever do you mean, Mr. Verney?
The soil around Buckmaster's quarry is a peculiarly dark reddish brown. It is also quite tenacious when wet, which is why some of it has adhered to your boots.
Oh, my goodness. You're very observant.
It comes from paying close attention to chemistry experiments, I think.
Well, you're quite right, and the Earl would take a black view of my consorting with the enemy as he would see it. Would you object too much if we walked on? I do not wish to give my wife any concern because I'm so late.
Not at all.
Now, you said you needed to see me. Is that in connection with your research?
No, I have to deliver a message from the Earl.
Oh dear, not trouble, I hope.
Yes, but not in the sense that you mean. Mitchell the gamekeeper has been killed.
Oh dear, oh dear. Was it a shooting accident?
Yes.
Those guns. It's a ghastly sport in its own right, and I have always feared that there would be an injury to a human being as well. Although I had rather expected it to be one of the beaters out in front of the guns.
It was an isolated incident, while he was on his rounds.
Well, well. I shall have to go up to Park House and establish the Earl's wishes. Two funerals in 1 week is too much for a small parish such as this.
If you are to visit the Earl, wipe the mud off your boots first, Mr. Dennison. Just in case.
I fancy I owe you an explanation about that.
Not at all. But you could satisfy my curiosity.
It is actually an extraordinary paradox.
Another one.
May I beg your pardon?
An echo of an earlier conversation.
Oh. On the one hand, Mr. Buckmaster is the archetypal man of affairs. Strong-willed to the point, I dare say, of being ruthless. And yet, on the other, he wishes to make a substantial bequest to the parish.
He is not a man to lay any store by historical precedents, but there are many.
The medieval kings storing up goodwill in heaven via their earthly works, you mean?
Something of the sort.
I fear a more accurate model would be the ostentatious display of the peacock.
More interested in this life than the next. That sounds more like Buckmaster.
He wishes to spend money on our church itself.
From what I've seen, it is in good repair.
Oh, it's not simply to maintain the fabric, Mr. Verney. It is to extend it in opulent fashion. But I have pointed out that the people of the parish would be far more deserving recipients.
I do not imagine he has taken kindly to that.
He is a stubborn man and used to having his own way. But as he is stubborn, so I am patient. But it does require me to visit the quarry to talk to him from time to time.
I hope you are successful. And now, if you will excuse me, I have another visit of my own to make.
Mr. Verney, hello. Don't tell me you followed me from the house.
Truly, Alice, I had no idea you would be here.
Well, it's my afternoon off, so if you're free as well...
I may have mentioned before, Alice,
work before pleasure, yeah, I know. What is it this time?
I would like to talk to your mother, but perhaps first you can tell me something. Does the Earl like riding?
Quite the reverse. He never gets on a horse if he can help it. He was kicked by one when he was a boy or something like that, and, well, he's hated riding ever since.
So he's not the brother.
What?
Thank you, Alice. Let us go through and talk to your mother.
She's in the parlour.
Come for some more information, have you, Mr. Verney?
I hope rather more for confirmation, Mrs. Selwood.
What about this time?
About the Earl's brother.
Never knew he had one.
Mind your manners, Alice, and don't interrupt. Better still, go and make it some tea.
Oh, not for me, thank you.
Well, in that case, I'll still have some.
Oh, all right.
We're talking, I believe, about Edward Grattan.
That's right, Edward. Mad as may butter he was, even before his accident.
Not literally.
Well, no, but he was always up to pranks and rode a horse like the devil was chasing him. But then he came off one day when he was hunting. Went completely wild.
Did he hit his head in the fall?
Yes, really bad. Doctor gave him a week to live.
But he recovered?
His body, yes, but his mind never did.
So he was put in an asylum?
Had to be. Couldn't be left alone at the house. But I don't know where he was put away.
I think I do.
You seem to know everything, Mr. Verney.
Not yet, Mr. Selwood, but I am hopeful.
Thank you for your time.
Here's your key, Mother. You're in good time, Alice, to see Mr. Verney to the door.
Are you sure you won't stay a little? Oh, all right, don't say it again, I know.
This really will all be over soon, Alice.
I shall be back at the house again tonight to sleep.
Then I wish you sweet dreams.
Oh. Verney, what is it now? I have only a very few moments before I have to change and meet my guests for dinner.
I have only the one question, my lord. Is there anything about your brother Edward that might bear on the letters to your sister?
How the devil have you found out about him?
William the Conqueror set the English a bureaucratic example with his doomsday book, which we've been content to follow ever since. Every detail of our lives is painstakingly noted, and what one man has written, another can read. In a Paris register, for example.
If you are such a master of finding things out, I wonder you don't give up chemistry and become a student of crime.
There is, I fear, no university course on the subject that I could follow. I have been given the information that your brother Edward was committed to the Royal Hospital for the Insane in Reading.
Yes, he was. He was beyond help and could not possibly have continued to live in normal domestic circumstances.
So for those who remained in Langston, he was regarded simply as if he'd never lived.
Do not adopt a high-minded tone with me, Verney. It was just less painful for all concerned that way. Edward was not locked up like some man in an iron mask for our convenience. He might as well have been dead. Believe me, we would have no compunction with an animal in his condition in putting it down.
So you see no connection between him and these letters?
It is impossible that there is any. And before you trot out your familiar saying, it is impossible. My brother, God rest his soul, died in the asylum earlier this year. Now, if you will excuse me...
Oh, Alice, what are you doing, wandering the corridors at this time of night? Get to bed, or you won't be fit for your work in the morning.
I'm sorry, Mr. Blaine, I've just come back from my mother's.
We will discuss it further in the morning.
Mr. Blaine, I smell smoke.
Are you sure?
I'm sure I couldn't be mistaken about that.
Where was this?
Down in the main hall.
We will go and investigate.
See, I told you, Mr. Blaine, I was right.
Yes, no doubt about it. I'll open the front door and sound the alarm. You go round all the rooms and make sure people are awake. Right. Quickly now.
Oh, yes, Mr. Blaine. Your lordship! Your lordship!
What on earth is it, Alice?
Fire, sir. Somewhere downstairs.
Good lord. Go to all the guest rooms and make sure everyone has heard the bell. Right. And satisfy yourself they're clear about their way out of the house before you leave them.
At once, your lordship.
Oh, and don't forget about that Verney chap.
Oh, as if I would. Mr. Verney! Oh, Arthur, where in heaven's name have you got to?
William.
Yes, sir.
Has any men come up from the village? Put them on the bucket chain.
Right, sir.
How bad is it, Blaine?
I regret to say the drawing room is well ablaze. The fire must have started there.
Was the grate checked as usual last night?
The routine is the same as every other evening, sir.
Well, we'll worry about all that later. Are we containing the fire?
The problem is the smoke, sir. Very difficult to see or to breathe. As far as I can tell, it's not spreading beyond the main hall and the anteroom. But I see no possibility of saving anything of the drawing room or of the room above.
Well, keep at it and tell me if there's any fresh development.
Very good, Your Lordship.
Now what I need is... Oh, there she is, Mrs. Lamont.
Yes, sir.
All the house party accounted for?
Yes, sir, and all.
Good, good. Looks as if the fire may not be spreading, but it's too soon for anyone to go back into the house. Have they all got enough coats, blankets, that sort of thing?
I think so. I could always go round to the other entrance and get some brandy from the kitchen.
Good idea, but tell Blaine at once if you see any sign of fire around that side.
There goes Your Lordship. Excuse me, Your Lordship.
What is it, Alice?
Have you seen Mr. Verney, sir?
Alice, I have more important things to do than count heads. In any case, I sent you to wake him.
He wasn't in his room, sir.
What? I saw him in the house in the early evening.
And his bed hasn't been slept in.
Perhaps he decided to return to Oxford after all. That'll be one blessing at least.
No, sir. His travelling bags and his clothes were all still in his room.
He'll turn up, Alice. His sword always does.
I think that is the last of the fire out, Your Lordship.
Good, good. But make sure all these ashes are well soaked. There's a hint of a breeze springing up. The last thing we want is the embers fanned back into a fire.
William has the men doing that now. I wouldn't come in any further, sir. I really don't know how safe the ceiling is.
In the morning, we must fetch in someone, I suppose, who's competent to advise us how much of the building can be salvaged. My God, if I knew who was responsible for this, I'd flay them alive.
I believe we know how it started, Your Lordship.
How?
We found this among the debris.
Some sort of lantern, is it?
Yes, sir. From what I can make out, it used oil for its light.
If that fell over on a carpet or near the curtains, it would explain why the fire took hold so quickly.
Indeed, sir. But to the best of my knowledge, we do not have a lamp like this anywhere in the house.
So, we are dealing with an intruder, are we?
Excuse me, Your Lordship.
Yes, William?
We found something you ought to see over by the fireplace.
Good Lord.
Any indication of who it is?
No, Mr. Blaine. A surgeon might find a part of the body that would identify it, but as sure as fate, I can't.
Those are men's boots, at least.
Verney.
Beg pardon, sir? Did you say Mr. Verney?
He's missing. This would explain why. No one else has any reason to be here.
What reason would he have?
He is the... was the nosiest person on this earth. He must have thought there was something he could find out in here. All right. Get something to cover up the body, William, will you?
Very good, Your Lordship.
This will make for even more complications in the morning. I'd better go and talk to my guests.
Very good, sir.
Your Lordship, I still can't find any sign of Mr. Verney.
I'm afraid you can stop looking now, Alice.
What?
Over there, where William is.
No, it can't be Mr. Blaine. Oh, please, please, God, no.
Get Mrs. Lamont to look after her before the girl gets hysterical.
Very good, sir. Come along, Alice. Oh.
I don't...
Mrs. Lamont, we'll get you a drink to calm you down.
What's this, Blaine? Alice not well?
Mr. Verney!
Arthur! I was right. I knew it couldn't be you.
What couldn't?
Oh. We have discovered a body in the debris, sir.
Blaine!
Yes, my lord?
See to my guests. Get them back into the house.
Very good, my lord.
Oh, your lordship, look!
Great heavens, Verney, you're alive.
As far as I'm aware, my lord.
Where the devil have you been, man? Why weren't you in your bed like any normal person? And now, who is that we found in the drawing room?
Which question would you prefer I answered first?
Where the deuce have you been, sir?
I have been burgling, my lord.
What?
What a lord!
Alice, hold your tongue.
Oh, sorry, your lordship.
It seems sensible to do that under the cover of night.
This investigation has turned your brain.
On the contrary. It was the only way I could obtain the evidence that was needed. I found a poacher's knife, for example, and writing paper that matched the note sent with the package to your sister.
So you know who was responsible?
I do.
Oh, Arthur!
It was Walters.
Who the devil's he?
The guard at Buckmaster's quarry.
Well, what on earth made you go to the place where he lives?
Well, the soil at the quarry is of a very singular colour, quite unmistakable.
What of that?
There were traces of that mud around where Mitchell was found.
Fancy that?
Alice...
Sorry, Your Lordship.
But as I recall, you said the purpose of that package to my sister was to encourage my leaving this house.
That is correct.
But nobody has any interest... No. Wait a moment. This man, Walters, worked for Buckmaster. He wants this house. My God, he must have put him up to it.
I confess, I thought so too. Until I found a discharge note among Walters' papers. From the Royal Hospital for the Insane at Reading.
An inmate with my brother.
Much more significantly, a warder. So now the key question becomes, what might your brother have said in a lucid moment to his keeper that would send the man here on a search?
In the name of wonder, the paintings!
Which paintings are those, Your Lordship?
The ones that disappeared, I imagine, Alice.
It was the final straw that made us have Edward committed. Came down one morning and found the three best pictures in the collection were missing from their frames. Edward was beside himself with amusement, so he must have been responsible, but we could not extract from him what he'd done with them. I've always assumed he must have destroyed them since we searched inside and out and found no trace.
What were the paintings?
There were a couple by Dutchman, Van Dyck and Vermeer, and one by that Italian,
What's his name? Makes you think of water.
Canaletto.
That's the chap.
Are they worth a lot?
Alice.
I would think the sale of any one of them would transform the finances of this estate.
But Edward was quite capable of saying he'd hidden them when in fact he'd torn them into pieces and scattered them to the wind.
Walters believed him sufficiently to lose his life in the search.
Oh, so that's who you think they found in the drawing room?
It is a logical conclusion. He was certainly not at home when I called.
Then, in heaven's name, let us see if he's found anything.
Yes.
It's hopeless. If he'd come upon something, it would be ashes now like the rest of this room.
If he had located what he wanted, he would have made good his escape. Not stayed long enough for the fire to engulf him.
Why was he here at all, with all us in bed, when you said he was trying to get the house empty?
That'll do, Alice. I had been about to put precisely the same question.
Walters cannot have planned to kill Mitchell. He just reacted without thinking when Mitchell found him skulking about the estate. If the police started a murder investigation, his whole scheme would be in jeopardy.
So he had to risk a search even while the house remained occupied.
Didn't do him much good, though.
Nor are we much further forward. The thought of having those paintings... look out!
Mr. Burney!
Don't fuss. I'm all right.
No, you're not.
The girl's quite right, Burney. There's an ugly cut on your head. We must... Ouch!
Oh, is your ankle hurt, your lordship?
No, luckily... Damned hole in the floor. Come on. Get out of here. The whole place is a death trap.
Why is there a hole?
Because a great chunk of the ceiling has just fallen down on it, you foolish girl. That's why.
I think Alice meant this should be a solid floor.
Yes, that's right.
Then what... Good God. Look at that. There's a hole cut in the floor under the parquet. Let me see.
Anything there?
Yes. I can feel... something inside. Oilcloth, it feels like. If I can just get a corner.
There. Looks like a telescope all wrapped up.
More likely to be Canaletto and company all wrapped up.
Damn me, it is. Marvellous. Edward didn't destroy them at all. And the fire hasn't reached them either. Some good has come of your stay here after all, Vernet, and that's a fact.
I'm pleased to have been of service, my lord.
Oh, yeah. Now, you look after him, Alice.
Oh, yes.
Make sure that his head is taken care of. Okay. Look after him properly, I say.
Oh, I shall do absolutely everything I can, your lordship.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Buckmaster.
You look as if you've been in the wars, lad. Sticking your nose into other people's business once too often, were you?
Wounds sustained in the line of duty? Mm. Nothing that a little judicious nursing and this fresh air cannot cure.
Well, this is a bit of a blow to the old Earl, I fancy. His ancestral home crumbling about his ears. Not a pretty sight, is it, in the cold light of day?
Every cloud has its silver linings, I understand.
The blind optimism of the lily-handed classes has never impressed me, Verney. Of course, as a good neighbour, I had been willing to help the Earl out of his little financial problem by buying this house from him.
So I had gathered.
I'd no doubt you'd ferret that out. But naturally, the price I offered was for a complete house, not for one with a great hole burned in it.
I do not imagine the Earl will be entertaining your offer now.
Oh, found a pot of gold, has he? Or is he whistling into the wind like you?
His circumstances have certainly altered for the better. But in any case, Mr. Buckmaster, he is unlikely to sell to a fraud.
You watch your tongue, lad, or you'll have my crop round your head, bandage or no bandage.
All your talk about the house is so much hot air. As like as not, you would have knocked it down. What you want is this land.
Oh, be sensible, boy. What use is land like this without the house to go with it?
To you, a great deal of use. For the seam of stone from your quarry continues right across here.
How the devil do you know that?
Even an untrained eye can understand a map. And there is one hanging on the wall of your office.
Oh.
A geologist would be more accurate. But from the look of what I saw, it represents more stone than you could probably dig out in the rest of your life.
Oh, I knew I was right. I said you were a damn spy.
Not at all. I have not mentioned it to the Earl, though I feel I would have to if he seriously contemplated selling to you.
What's all this to you, then? Why in God's name do you interfere in things which are not your concern?
I am merely doing a friend a favor. Before you go...
Look, I'll go when I'm good and ready.
I believe that will be shortly. If I should chance to hear that you're trying to place pressure on the Earl in any way, I would also be forced to tell him of the events that occurred shortly before you left Shropshire. You lived in Colebrookdale, did you not?
I have no idea what events you're referring to.
Oh, your bluff is all the more ironic since you profess to be the modern man, and yet you're apparently so ignorant of excellent modern inventions. It is via the electric telegraph that I know your competitor's premises burnt down under somewhat dubious circumstances.
Nothing was ever proved.
Indeed not. But the seed of suspicion would be a dangerous one to plant, especially as someone in your employ was found at the scene of this fire.
Who do you mean?
The mean-spirited Walter discovered under the ashes in there.
Walter's dead?
I'm afraid so.
He was a good man.
I think we may agree to differ on our definition of good. So you see, even the whisper of the word arson when the police arrive would be worrisome to you, don't you think?
Damn your eyes. You watch your back, lad. I won't forget the name, Verney.
Much good may it do you.
Good morning, sir. How is the head? Oh, I'm sorry. You did not wish me to inquire after your health.
I think this morning we can make an exception, Blaine, thank you.
Very good, sir. His lordship has asked if you would join him in the library.
Very well. One small point before I do that.
Yes, sir?
There really was no need to follow me, you know. You had nothing to fear from me.
I'm sorry, sir.
Miss Staples and the vicar and his wife can continue to believe the graveyard is haunted if they wish. But you and I know that even a large gravestone has difficulty hiding your bulk.
Do you intend to tell the Earl?
I really must do something about the image people have of me that I rush to the Earl with every snippet of information I have. No, I do not intend to tell the Earl.
That is very good of you, sir.
As long as you tell me what you are hoping to achieve.
One's prosperity is threatened if the Earl moves his establishment from here, sir.
So you looked for ways to secure your future?
Something of the sort, sir.
Was it Buckmaster or Walters who had more to offer you, I wonder?
If you will forgive me, sir, one must respect the confidences of another.
I cannot argue with that. Well, let Walters serve. He cannot argue any other case. And someone must have given him the idea of sending a threatening package in the manner of the letters.
I'm sure you are right, sir.
In the library, you say?
If you would, sir.
Now, Verney, I shall speak to my son in due course, but in the meantime, your contribution to events here has been a significant one, and it should be recognized.
That's very good of you, my lord.
So I intend to write you a check.
That will not be straightforward.
Why not? You surely have an account with a bank?
Yes, I do.
Very well, then.
But in my own name.
What?
The discretion I promised you began before I left Oxford.
Huh?
We agreed with your son that if I had a false identity, I could disappear as if I had never existed, as I intend to do.
We? Are there more of you involved?
Only one, a fellow chemistry student.
Huh.
His is the brain behind the whole plan, including the choice of name. Indeed, he should have been here instead of me.
Then why wasn't he?
Unfortunately, Sherlock was laid up at the last moment when a bull terrier bit him in the ankle, so I had to take his place and employ his methods.
Sherlock, you say?
Oh, just a slip, my lord. It is better with no names, I'm sure.
Well, if there is to be no check, I'd better fetch the cash box and get a bag of sovereigns.
Two sovereigns? What for?
For all you've done for me, Alice.
Now you're insulting me.
Last night, well, that was a spontaneous act of kindness, I know. But when I first arrived, you undertook to be my ally, and you have been. That deserves to be rewarded.
Well, in that case, I'll take them, and willingly. Oh, do you have to go now?
There is nothing to keep me here.
Oh, well, that's nice, I must say.
As far as the Earl is concerned, he's keen to see the back of me now. Besides, I must get back to my work in Oxford.
Would I like Oxford?
Not down to earth enough for you, I suspect. Mm. And now, I must hurry if I'm to catch the next train.
You said you had nearly an hour.
Yes, but I have one last call to make on my way to the station.
I cannot see your reason for yet another visit to me, Mr. Verney.
Simply to leave you this, Mrs. Selwood.
What on earth are you giving me money for?
The last letter you wrote asked for money. This will save you having to write any more.
What letter?
I do not intend to miss my train with long explanations of what you know full well already. The ease of obtaining paper from the Park House suggests that is what you used. But the most important fact came out of your own mouth in this room.
Well, I'm sure I don't know who would want to write anything nasty to the Earl.
You were anxious to put me off the track by saying the letters were sent to the Earl. You knew they were not, so your apparent ignorance would suggest innocence. But up until that moment, I had not made any specific reference to the nature of the letters. Yet you were aware of that.
It was just anger at first.
Because of the way you'd been treated after your injury.
I wanted to make sure that someone else had some pain, not just me. It was only later that I thought I might be able to get money as some return for the shabby way I was thrown aside. But I really had no idea how I might have got it into my hands without them finding out. Oh, too late for that now, any road, I suppose, since you'll tell the Earl.
It is a source of considerable satisfaction that I have to say for the last time, no, I will not tell the Earl. Unless I chance to hear that the letters have not ceased.
Oh, but what about this money?
It was given to me by the Earl, so I am simply redirecting it to you. It can serve as something of the compensation you did not receive. I hope you and Alice, of course, can enjoy it.
But if you leave it here, it means you take away nothing from your time here.
Oh, I would not put it quite that way.
How would you put it, then?
Now, you ask a little too much, Mrs. Selwood. To say any more would definitely be indiscreet.
Anson! Anson!
In Absolute Discretion, Arthur Verney was played by Ben Daniels, the Earl by Brett Usher, and Alice Selwood by James Slavin. Lady Edith Grattan was Maxine Audley, and Lady Maud, Elizabeth Kelly. Blaine, Terence Edmund, and Buckmaster, Ronald Herdman. Amos Sadler, Michael Turner, the Reverend Dennison, Timothy Carlton. Mrs. Dennison, Danielle Allen, Mrs. Selwood, Oriel Smith, William, Stephen Garlick, Miss Staples, Jane Wittenshaw, Mrs. Lamont, Jenny Howe, Walters, Timothy Bateson, Mitchell, David Bannerman. Absolute Discretion was written by Grant Eustace. The director from Bristol was Alec Reed.